In John chapter 21, Jesus is speaking to Peter, and in verse number 18, Jesus says to Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth a disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." You know, those two words are so simple that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to Peter. He says, "Follow me." Back when Jesus would first come into his public ministry, Andrew would come and find Jesus, and then Andrew would go and tell his brother Peter. And he would say to Peter, he says, "We've found the Messiah. You need to come and see." And that's the first thing, is every person needs to come to Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we find that rest through salvation, through faith in Jesus Christ. And first the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come to me." And that's what this world needs. They need to come to Jesus Christ. That's where the rest is. That's where the peace is. But from that point and from that moment on, Jesus would say to Andrew, he'd say to Peter, he'd say to all the disciples. In fact, he'd say to anybody that would come to him, "And now follow me, follow me." And you know, Peter and the disciples, for the next 3 years, they would literally follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They would go to where he was and they would follow him, and they would follow him into homes. They would follow him up on the mountainside. They would follow him across the Sea of Galilee. They would literally follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But now in John chapter 21, things are going to change. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ says the commandment still is the same: follow me. You know, if I were to ask this morning, if I were to ask Matthew to come, "Hey Matthew, you want to come help me out for a minute?" "No, okay, I didn't think you would." All right, I knew that answer was coming. "No." All right, but if I were to ask Matthew, if I were to say, "Matthew, come on up here, I want you to follow me." Matthew, if he was truly an obedient grandson, didn't have an attitude like his grandfather, he would follow me. And if I walked over here, Matthew would follow me. And if I walked over here, Matthew would follow me. And he would just literally follow me. And he would follow me all around. So now if I can't get help from Matthew, I'm going to ask, well, Cassie, will you help me out? All right, Cassie, I want you to stand up. All right, stand up, turn around. Now I want you to close your eyes and I want you to count to 10. Real slow, out loud, real loud. All right, now, Cassie, I want you to open your eyes and follow me. Follow me. It's kind of different when you don't know where he is, isn't it, huh? Thank you, Cassie. I tricked you, didn't I, huh? All right. But you see, that's the difference. When Jesus was here on the earth, they could say, "Well, it's easy to follow you. We see you, we hear you, we know where you are, we follow you." And so they did follow the disciples. I mean, they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But now Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me." And yet Jesus is going back to heaven. Peter will not physically see him. Peter will not verbally hear him. So for Peter, the same words that are given to Peter when Jesus says, follow me, are the same words given to you and me. As we come to Christ and we are saved, now follow him. So I was really thinking about this week and really just studying it out and thinking about it. How do we follow Jesus? You know, sometimes we use this phrase and it sounds so simple. In actuality, it is simple. But when you start to put it into practice, if someone just gets saved and they just come to know Jesus Christ and you say, now I want you to follow Jesus, they could be just like Cassie looking around. Well, where is he? How do I follow Jesus? Literally, how in 2020 in my life do I follow Jesus? Because Jesus is back in glory. Now, I know the Spirit of Christ dwells within me. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But in a very simple sense this morning, how do I follow Jesus? Well, you know, there's three passages of Scripture that specifically tell us not only how we follow Jesus, but how Jesus leads us. You know, not only is it important to know how to follow Jesus, but it's just as important to understand how Jesus leads us. And so this morning we're going to look and we're going to see three points this morning. But first of all, as we think about this, we're going to see where he leads us and then how he leads us. Where he leads us and how he leads us. The first one is where he leads us. Because it's important to just understand that I can trust Jesus that where he leads me, I will want to go. Right? That's important, isn't it? I need to be able to trust Jesus that where he leads me, I can trust him that it's a good place to go. Because when you're playing games as young people, you play follow the leader, someone might just decide that, hey, let's go over here, it might not be a safe place. Or let's go over here and it's not a good place. But we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, that where he leads us is always, listen, Jesus is always going to lead you to a good place. As for the Lord, his way is perfect. But you know, there's one verse that tells us where he wants to lead every one of us in our Christian life today. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And this is where it all starts. And when you get this, when we understand this, it creates a strong desire. Boy, I want to follow Jesus. If I know where Jesus is leading me, and I see where Jesus is leading me, man, I want to follow him. I want to follow him. John chapter 8, if you turn back there, in John chapter 8, Jesus says this. Verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ wants to lead you and me. To a place of light, of purity, of cleanness, of holiness. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ wants to lead you and me. And there is no better place to be led than the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. A light that is pure, that is holy, that is going to lead you to a cleaner life, a holier life, a purer life. Think about it. He says, if you follow me, he says, I'm the light of the world. You follow me and you won't walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. You know, you just go over to Matthew chapter 16. We'll get to Matthew 17 in a minute. But Matthew chapter 16, he's with his disciples. Now, three of these disciples, Peter, James, and John, really wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might, I mean, a good thought is that they wanted to follow the Lord more intently than the rest of the disciples, because the Lord Jesus Christ would take them to places where the other disciples he didn't take. And they would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But usually we will go to Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. But I want to go back to chapter 16 because Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. But in Matthew chapter 16, look at verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And he says this, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it profited? What does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then shall he reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. But you know the Lord in verse 24 of chapter 16, he says, you know, if any man will come after me and deny themselves, and boy, that's how far the Lord wants us to go. As he is the light, and he says, you follow me, you'll walk, you'll not walk in darkness. He says, it'll come to the point where following me is more than everything. And then in chapter 17, look where he led the disciples after this. 6 days later, he leads the disciples up onto a mount. Look what it says. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth it up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And boy, Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Listen, as the Lord leads us in our lives to a place of greater light, greater purity, greater cleanliness, greater holiness, there's only one thing you can say. Lord, it is good to be here. Look over to 1 John chapter 1. This is what 1 John chapter 1 is teaching us about true fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times, and I was thinking about this week, is a lot of times we say we want to be right with God, right? We say it's important to be right with God. But you know, sometimes we can stop at that statement. Well, I'm right with God. I don't want to just be right with God. Don't you want to be further? Don't you want to be close to God? It's like sometimes we think of being right with God. Well, I'm okay. Everything's all set and everything's all clear. No, I want to be walking close to God. I want to draw nigh to God. I want to be walking right close to God. You know, that's possible. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 speaks about having fellowship, close fellowship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. A fellowship that will bring, well, you'll know His love. I don't want to step into Pastor Donnie's territory. But in John chapter 17, Jesus says that they may be with us where we are, and that they may know the love that we have, that we may be one. I hope I didn't go too far in your message. All right. But look at 1 John, because not only is there love, but there's joy. You want to know love of God? You want to know joy? You want to know peace? Listen, there's only one way. It's through a pure life that brings you into close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, are the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Hey, listen, John says this is a reality. This is a possibility. This is for you and me. We can have fellowship, close fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. these things. Look at verse number, or truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And Jesus is saying, hey, listen, that's where I want to lead you to. That's where I want to lead you to in your life as a Christian. I want to lead you to that place where you know the love and the joy and the peace of that fellowship with the God, the Father, and God, the Son. He says, I'll lead you into that place. It's a place of light. It's a place of purity. It's a place of holiness and cleanliness where we can have fellowship with the Father. That's why, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter just expresses his joy, and he says in verse number 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to. That's where he's leading us to. Listen, when you stop and think about that, why would you want to be led anywhere else? Why would you want to go anywhere else? You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 16, it says that there is joy in the presence of the Lord, and his right hand is, there's fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. Fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And the Lord says, this is where I'm leading you. This is where I want to lead you, to a place where you know the fullness of joy through fellowship with the Father. You know the love of the Father. You know the peace that comes from communing with him. He's at this place of light, and he says, you won't walk in darkness. So that's where the Lord wants to lead us. He says, I am the light of the world. You follow me and you won't walk in darkness. So the question is, all right, that's where he wants to lead us. How is he going to lead us, and how am I going to follow? How is he going to lead us, and how am I going to follow? Because as we saw, so aptly put by my wonderful assistant this morning, all right, if I can't see him, how am I going to follow him? Peter has seen him, and Peter has listened to him. Peter's heard him, just as they said in 1 John chapter 1. We've seen him, we've heard him, we've touched him. But now, Jesus is no longer visible on earth. So how is he going to lead me to this place, and how am I going to follow? Well, I'm thankful that the Lord gives us two other portions of Scripture that tell us exactly how he leads us and how we can follow. And the first one is this. The first point is that he leads us to a place of light. The second one is once again, it's very simple and yet very difficult. You say, how can something be so simple and yet so difficult? Well, we make it difficult. The Lord says, I'll make it simple. We tend to make it difficult. But you know what the second point is? He says, listen, listen. Go to John chapter 10. Well, who are we going to listen to? Well, we're going to listen to one person. Remember Jesus is speaking to Peter, and Peter looks at John and says, well, what about him? And what does the Lord say? He says, what is that to thee, Peter? Follow me. And if you're going to be led to that place of light, you've got to determine, boy, I'm going to listen to one person, and that's Jesus. Because there are so many other voices in the world, aren't there? And yet, look at John chapter 10. Look at verse number 4. He's speaking about himself as the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd of the sheep. And he says in verse 4 of chapter 10 of John, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." You see, as I stood there this morning and I spoke and I said to Cassie, I says, "Follow me." She knew my voice. She just couldn't see, but she knew my voice. She says, "I know that voice. That's my Grippy's voice. I know that voice. Can't miss that voice. No one can miss that voice." She says, "I know." Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." Look at verse number 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And so the first thing, if the Lord Jesus Christ says, "How I'm going to lead you? I'm going to lead you with my voice. I'm going to lead you with my words, my voice." He says, "Listen to my voice." You know, if we just looked at the life of Peter for a moment, and just consider from the perspective of Peter, because the Lord says to Peter, "Follow me." And Peter was one that his life was more visible to be seen through the scripture than a lot of the other disciples, for good or for bad. I mean, when you saw Peter, you see Peter. And the Bible describes Peter, and one day things are going well, and the other day things aren't going as well. And that's to put it nicely. You go over to Luke chapter 22. You see, Peter knew the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, "My own sheep know my voice, and they follow me." He knew the voice of the Lord. In Luke chapter 22, the voice of the Lord brought him to a place of godly sorrow. For here in Luke chapter 22, Peter denies the Lord 3 times. And then in verse number 61, it says this, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." Look what it says. "And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." But what did Peter remember? Peter turned, he saw the Lord. And it says he remembered the word of the Lord. And it broke his heart, and he wept bitterly. But you know, I'm thankful that the story of Peter's life doesn't end there. I'm thankful that the story of Peter's relationship with the Lord doesn't end there, where he went out and wept bitterly, and then the Bible doesn't say anything more about it. No, it doesn't stop there. In fact, you turn over a couple of pages to Luke chapter 24, after Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. And the Bible, this is one of those passages one of those places in the Bible where there's just one statement that's made, and yet how rich and how full it must have been in Peter's life. There's no details given about it. It just says this in verse number 34, where the ladies come back, and or the disciples, these two on the road to Emmaus come back. And here's what is said in verse 34. "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." You know, there's no details given about that account. But you just stop and think how precious that must have been to Peter. Peter has denied the Lord 3 times. Peter, the one that said, I will not forsake thee. I will follow thee wherever you go. And he's denied the Lord 3 times. And he looks, and the Lord's looking at him, and he remembers the words of the Lord. He goes out and weeps bitterly. Aren't you so thankful that the Lord doesn't stop there with us? And there's no details given about what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter. But I'll tell you what. The Bible says the words of the Lord were gracious. Every word that proceeded out of his mouth was gracious. He's full of grace and truth. And where Peter's heart was broken in Luke chapter 22, Oh, Peter's heart must have been so comforted, just filled with peace and love and joy as the Lord Jesus, before he goes to any other disciples, before he gets to that room where they're all gathered, he first takes time to go and minister to Peter. And then you go over to John chapter 21 and look at John chapter 21 and John chapter 21. And now the Lord Jesus Christ is once again speaking to, well, he speaks to a group of the disciples, but his attention is on Peter. And you know, if I could break chapter 21 down into, just down into a few simple thoughts. Look at how Jesus speaks to them in verse number 5. Look, I mean, just think of the tender nature of the words of Jesus Christ. Here these grown men have been out all night fishing, caught nothing. And look what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Children, have you any meat? Gracious words. Children, have you any meat? They come to the shore and they see a fire there and there's coals on the fire and there's fish and bread. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about this from the perspective of Peter now. Come and dine. Come and dine. The Lord Jesus Christ says that same man that denied him just days ago, come and dine. Come and feast, Peter. Come and dine. Come and fellowship with me. Then he says, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Not only feed my sheep, but he says, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Right there is another tender expression. Feed my lambs. And then he says, follow me. Follow me. And Peter knew the words of the Lord, but the words of the Lord are so gracious to us, folks. And the Lord wants us to follow his voice. He's a shepherd. And the voice of the shepherd is gracious and kind and loving and caring. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, you can see it in the writings of Peter as he writes this epistle. He says he's called us out of darkness into marvelous light. And look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 24, 1 Peter chapter 1. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 7, unto you therefore believe, he is precious, he is precious. And you know, Peter would say this, he'd say, listen, he says, you want to follow Jesus? He says, and open your ear and listen to his voice. Listen to speak. You say, how do I do that? Right here, folks. Right here. Right here. You read this. This is the word of the Lord. In fact, Peter would say, hey, in 2 Peter, Peter says, you know, we saw him up on the mountain. He took us up on that mountain of transfiguration. We saw his glory. We heard God speak and say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He says, it's right here. It's right here. And so number one, the Lord wants to lead us to a place of light. Place of light. But number two, the Lord says, how am I going to lead you? He says, with my voice, follow me. Follow me. And that's through the word of God. You know, the other day we were down at the lake at Powers Lake, and it was interesting. First of all, it was interesting because we saw the National Guard with all their amphibious boats training. That was cool. See those guys rolling and unload those boats and everything. But then we saw something else. It was really, really fascinating. There was a group of elderly people swimming. Now, you're saying that was fascinating? Well, hold on a minute, okay? I mean, when we're talking elderly. These people were in their late 70s, probably early 80s. I mean, and they were out. And when we say swimming, I mean, they were swimming all the way out to the middle of Powers Lake and all around. I mean, for like 45 minutes, they're in the water swimming. Not on shore. We're not talking knee deep. I mean, they're out there swimming and a group of them. And as they came in, as they started to come in, we noticed another lady came with a cane for a blind person. And she walked over to the shore, and this man came in, and this other lady came in with him, and we had heard them in the water. We had heard this one man swimming and this other lady swimming, and he was telling her where to go, how to swim, where to go. Come in this direction. She was following his voice. And so as they came to shore, I have to speak. It's me. And I said to her, excuse me, I don't want to be impolite or I don't want to be rude. I said, but are you just legally blind or are you totally blind? And this elderly woman who, listen, she had been swimming out in the middle of Powers Lake. And she says, no, I'm totally blind. She says, all I can see is glimpses of color on the side. She says, and I said, well, how do you do this? How do you swim? She says, well, the other day, she says, I was swimming. And now she had this one man that was leading her, and she actually had a tether, so she was attached to him. But she says, the other day, we didn't have this tether. And she says, I was just out there swimming and blind. Blind, folks. You think about that. And she said, I would start to go off in one direction and I would hear someone say, come over here, this way. And then I would start to go that way and I would hear someone else say, this way. And she says, I was trying to follow multiple voices. She says, today I'm so thankful. She says, I'm just following him. I'm just following his voice. And actually, she was attached to him, which we should be attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But she says, I'm just following his voice. And he was leading her. And they had been out there for about 45 minutes, swimming around the lake in water, 25, 30, 50 feet deep. I mean, however deep that lake is. And she says, I'm following his voice. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, we're to follow his voice. He leads, we're to follow. But you know, in Matthew chapter 13, he tells the disciples, he says, we have an advantage. This lady is as wonderful as it was that she could follow that man's voice, she still couldn't see. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And the Lord tells us, first of all, to follow his voice, to listen. Have you listened to the Lord today? Have you let the Lord speak to you today? But he says, but you know what? You also have eyes that you can see. You say, wait a minute. Whoa, hold on. He's in glory. How can I see him? Well, Jesus tells us not only to listen, but he says to look. Turn over to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. This is one we miss. This is one that we miss this aspect of following the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to lead you to a place of light. He says, I'm going to lead you by my voice. You listen, hear my voice through the word of God. But he says something else very, 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 very important. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. You know what Peter says? Peter says, we need to listen to his voice, but he says, he has also left us an example that we can follow. That we can follow. And where is that example found? The same place. Found in the scriptures. You go and you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you follow his example. You follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it'll show you how to take his words and apply them. You follow his example. That's what Peter says. He says you follow his example. And it means going into the Word of God, looking at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you just look at the example that the Lord gives to Peter in the life of Peter. I mean, think of the difference in the example of the Lord Jesus Christ when Peter denies him. And the Lord just gazes at him, looks at him. And Peter remembered the words. The Lord didn't jump out, shout, scream. He just looked at Peter. And Peter remembered what the Lord had said. And then the words that the Lord would speak to Peter. Oh, friend, if we would just look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and let that be the example that we use in our life, it would just do so much for us. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, follow me. He says, follow me. He said, I'm going to lead you to a place of light where there'll be great fellowship, pure fellowship, beautiful fellowship. He says, I will lead you by my voice. Just listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to what the Lord says. And he says, follow my example. Look. See how I lived. See how I responded. See how I acted. See how I spoke. See how I ministered. We were just the other day, get a message on Facebook asking us to do something, asking me to do something. Heather Gannant. Remember Heather Gannant? How many remember the Gannant family? And Marty and Laurie Gannant. And they lost their 5-year-old son in a fire down in New London back in 1987. And so Heather contacted us the other day and she asked, she said, would you go down and would you just find Jonathan's stone and she would you just clean it up and put some flowers on it? Mom and Dad can't get up there. And she says, I know it would mean a lot to him. And so my wife and I went down and we found the stone and it didn't take much. We just washed it off with some water and put some carnations around it. But the response was this. Heather texted back and she said, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. She said, we were just overwhelmed that you would be willing to do this. And I thought to myself, how could we not? How could we not be willing to just minister to someone? I mean, wouldn't the Lord Jesus Christ do that for you and me? Amen. Wouldn't he do it? You know, a lot of times we don't stop to think in the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, it opened the opportunity to talk with a man that I haven't seen in years. I haven't seen him since, well, probably 1987, around that time. I had the opportunity to talk to a man. And but you know, when you follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, it leads you to the right place. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, he says, follow me, follow me. He says, I'll lead you to the light. He says, I'll lead you by my voice, by my word. Just listen to me. And he says, I'll lead you by my example. Just look and follow me. He says, first, come unto me. But after that, follow me. And you know, he told Peter, he says, you follow me. And he said, he told him how his life was going to glorify God. You know, when we simply follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he leads us to light. We listen to his voice. We look at his example. And it'll glorify God. And that's what our chief purpose is, our aim, our desire is, that our life would bring honor and glory to him. You know, back in 1861, when the Civil War was going on and there was unrest all throughout our country, there was a young man, he was a preacher, and he was preaching, actually he's from New Hampshire. And it's good to have testimonies of New Englanders that knew the Lord and loved the Lord and served the Lord, amen? And anyways, he was preaching, and he was just filling the pulpit at this church, and he preached from Psalm 23 on the Lord Jesus Christ, but he got stuck on the phrase, he leadeth me, he leadeth me. And he just was overwhelmed, and he couldn't get any further than that phrase. And after the sermon, after the message, he sat down, he was sitting down with some people, and he was discussing it further, and he didn't bring anything up in the message about what was going on in society, even though society was just like we are right now, in a state of unrest. But he just focused on Jesus leading him. And he basically, he wrote this poem, and the basic tenor of the poem was simply this: if I know that he is leading me, then all is well. If I know that Jesus is leading me, if I know that I'm following him, then all is well. And he wrote a poem, and later on his wife sent the poem into a Christian publication, and actually there are some good things that come out of Maine, and this is one other good thing that came out of Maine. But there was someone up in Maine that took the poem and put it to music, and it's a hymn that we have in our hymn book, and he didn't even know it. Later on, he was at another service, and he opened their hymn book to see what hymns they were singing, and he looks and he says, oh, I wrote that. And someone else put it to music. But they put it to music, and it's that hymn that we sing. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. And you know, all we need to do is follow. He'll never lead you to a wrong place. But Jesus says, I'll lead, you follow. I'll lead you to light, you listen, you look, and you follow. Let's pray.